Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
No games on the schedule?
That doesn't stop us from talking football.
It's time for the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association Show.
Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Here are your hosts, past WFCA president and associate head coach at Arrowhead, Tom Swiddle, and the Fans High School insider, big time Mike McGivern.
Well, welcome into the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern. Thanks for joining us. My co-host, past president of WFCA, WFCA Hall of Fame member, and associate head coach at Heartland Arrowhead. He is Tom Swiddle. Coach, how you been?
I've been great. How about you, Mike?
I've been good. Yeah, everything's going well. Tell me a little bit about how the first, I guess, week or two has been out at Arrowhead for you guys. I know it's what a weird time that we're in, but just wondering how things are going for you.
Going really well. I'm impressed with the way the players have adapted to, you know, our new rules of engagement. And we've had very, very productive strength and conditioning sessions. We had our first contact day last night. Things are really running smoothly.
That's good news. Hey, so let me run down today's show a little bit. The first three segments, we're talking about the Hall of Fame. And our first guest is John Hoke, and we're set with John. And Dan Brunner is going to make the announcement of the 2021 inductees. And then 10:30, we've got a coach that's going to be on that we're going to announce at 10:15. So I'm not going to tell you who that is. Want that to be a surprise. 10:45, Joel Nellis and Matt Kern. We're going to talk youth football discussion. A lot to discuss this time, what's going on with COVID-19 and how they're doing that. At 11:15, a couple of new head coaches. And I love when I've got a guy like Tom Swiddle, who, again, he is past president of WFCA. He's a Hall of Fame member. He's been coaching football a long time. To have first-year head coaches on that can kind of gain a little knowledge from talking to a guy like Tom, which is awesome. At 11:45, we've got a corporate sponsor from BSN that's going to join us, and they're a big sponsor of the WFCA. We want to say thank you to Eric on that. But our first guest, and we're having that Hall of Fame discussion, is John Hoke. Hey, John, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, doing great. Just had a little storm go through up here. I'm really up in Lake City, Minnesota with my son right now.
Man, well, that's good. Say hi to him for us. Hey, let's this time of year and what's going on with our country with COVID-19, you know, the whole Hall of Fame part of the discussions that we've had in the past, and we've taken a lot of time to announce the inductees and all of that. You guys have had to kind of change up a little bit with the thought process on everything. How is that going?
It went really well. We did it in June like we usually did. We, of course, did it virtually with a Zoom meeting. That was different. But got everybody together, discussed our nominations that we had, and it ended up really well. We had to make some changes this year because we're not able to induct our 2020 class, so they're going to be next year with the 2021 class. And because of that, we decided instead of inducting 10 members, we're going to add 5 for next year and then 5 the following year. So it gives us a total of 15. We just needed to got such great candidates out there that we needed to make sure that we got everybody involved.
John, we have, you know, sort of a system in which we make our selections for the Hall of Fame, and there's so many great candidates. Obviously, there are some years when you have somebody that just jumps out at you and is a sort of a no-brainer. But usually, you know, there's a lot of candidates that are there, and we have a kind of a point system that we use, and without getting into too many specifics about it, you know, what are some of the things that the selection committee weighs as we make these choices?
One is definitely longevity. Yeah, when you look into it, and you know, first you have to be over 50 years old, but then when we get into specifics of it, we look at, you know, the recommendations or the nominations, their letter of recommendation from who they are. And, you know, as much as we'd like to say we know everybody, you know, I was in the southwest part of the state going up to the northeast part. I don't know all the coaches there. I do know some that stick out, like you say, are a slam dunk to go in. And so we look at that. We do a little point. We do a rubric where we look at, you know, success, longevity, how they were involved in the WFCA is an important aspect also, and just what they do in the community and all of those type of things.
And we have, you know, when we make selections, we have categories. So, you know, you have the head coach category, but we also have an assistant coach category. We have a college coach category. We also have sort of a combo, we call it, assistant coach, head coach. And I'm not aware that other organizations do it this way, but I think it's really served us well.
It has. It gets us an idea of, you know, it puts them in a general area, and then you can look at, okay, if we had head coaches and say there are 10 candidates, plus we also have to remember that, you know, once you've been nominated, you're on that list for 5 years. And sometimes you don't make it the first year, but you make it the second or third year, or even a fourth or fifth year with that. But with the head coaches, you look at them and you kind of compare those. And the assistant coaches, we like to get those people involved. The college coach, we like to have that also be an involved situation. So when we do that, we can kind of break it up instead of just saying, here's 20 coaches to look at. And that really helps.
We are talking with John Hoke from Lancaster. He was inducted Hall of Fame in 2010. And John, so you understand these five guys that we're going to announce with Dan Brunner in the next segment, you know, what a great time for them and the amount of the emotional feelings that they have when they get that call that they're going to be going to the Wisconsin Football Coaches Association Hall of Fame. It's just what a great feeling for them. And I'm sure that you remember when you got that call back in 2010.
Yeah, it's one of the exciting moments of a coaching career. You know, a lot of people, I mean, we have people that we try to get into it, and some say they don't want to until they're totally done coaching and all that. And so we've had people turn us down, and we understand that. But when you get that call, and my process right now is when I call them, it's one of my highlights is to be the person that tells them that they're going into the Hall of Fame. And I remember when Dick Rundle called me and said, hey, coach, we just want to let you know. I said, what? You know, he just couldn't believe it because it's not one of those things that you I guess that's not a – Tom could tell me, but it's not like something that you put on your goal list when you're a coach. It's, I'm coaching because I want to be in Hall of Fame. That's not at all. And so it's just kind of like a little icing on the cake, a little more – ice cream or whatever you want it.
A la mode.
No doubt. Yeah. And Tom, we've had that discussion too, that, you know, what a highlight for everybody when they're told that, and these guys that we're going to announce with Dan Brunner in the next segment, obviously when you had to cut it down to that number, the cream of the crop, there's going to be some guys that will get in the following year that probably would have gotten in 2021 had this not been going on, correct?
Oh, absolutely. There's no question that we had some really strong candidates this year, and it was a decision that the Hall of Fame committee made that we have to limit for the next year for the reasons John spoke about. But yes, there's no question there's some people that are already high on our list for next year. Would you say that's correct, John?
Yeah, that is. You know, I pulled all my notes from it, and you know, we got eight or nine that we said, hey, these are people that are strong candidates that didn't make it this year that might have been close to making it that we're going to definitely look at for next year. And, you know, and I do have to say this about this year. And Joe Labuda was supposed to go in on it in 2020, and he had a record number of people coming from Menominee, you know, all the way down to Madison for it. He was going to have over 200. That's kind of why we limited it, so that we can get everybody in and give them their well-deserved award. But Joe, you can just imagine how good a coach he was, or still is, I should say, and the support that he has gained at Menominee. We've never had somebody have so many people want to come for one person.
Boy, that's
– Mike,
go ahead.
Mike, you participated yourself. I mean, I remember when – we announced on the show your award that you won, and you were going to be honored at the Hall of Fame banquet, how surprised you were and happy and really humble. And then, of course, you know, you went through the entire ceremony at the banquet. And you know, your impressions of all of that, Mike.
You know, Tom, I am looking right now in the office at my house where we do the shows. My wife, Terry, did a beautiful job and got one of the shadow box kind of frames and the plaque and pictures of my family and my friends and the Hall of Fame banquet of March 25th, 2017, the program. And in the middle of that picture, Tom, is my mom, who passed away April 2nd of this year. And I remember when I walked to see her when she got there, and she looked around and she said, I can't believe how big this is. And I said, well, what did you think? She said, I thought it was going to be like a St. Peter and Paul awards maker where there'd be like 40 people. And I said, no, Mom. She said, well, Michael, I would have dressed a little different. Why didn't you tell me this? I said, no, you look fine, Ma. You look fine. But she was so impressed. There were so many people that went up to her and introduced themselves and said, hey, I hear your son talking about you on the radio a lot. That we talk about that event, and I get a chance to look at it every single day, guys, because it's right on the wall. You know, when I look at my computer, it's right there to the left. That's how big of a deal that was for me and my family, and for the people that we had up to that event were just so impressed and so surprised, and it was just really cool. You know, Tom, if you remember in the studio, I was giving you the, hey, we got to go to break. I was really mad at you guys. I'm like, we got to go. We're way late. And you were like, we got one more. I said, and I'm thinking, we have no time for this, boys. We got to go. And then you did that to me. I almost punched you right after, just so you know.
Well, I would have welcomed that punch because it would have been well worth it to see your reaction.
Hey, John, before we let you go, and we've got to get we got to get to a break, but looking at your bio, and this is really off the topic that we're talking about right now, but, you know, it says that you're a teacher for emotionally and behavioral challenged children, and I want to just kind of get that part of your mind thinking with what's going on COVID-19. I've talked to a number of people that are telling me, and they've told me, that the untold story about what's going on right now is that as parents and grandparents, we have to pay special attention to our kids because there are some depression issues going on because kids aren't getting in the classroom to see their friends. They're not being active on the playground or on the field and getting, you know, their workouts in. And I'm just wondering for you, how important do you think it is for these kids, for their mental state, that we get back to some sort of normalcy as far as school and playing football?
I think that's the biggest important thing that we are talking about as the WFCA. It's not the idea of playing football or, you know, their physical conditioning. That it's the kids need to be by each other that they've been separated from. And I hate to tell you this, I need to be by the kids. and for my mental state and those type of things. But the emotional and the mental stress that they're having in my conversations with kids, I know we finally were able to get something started after the 1st of July down in Lancaster. And that first workout session, it was just like, oh, God, yeah, hey, it's kind of almost like being normal and getting the kids in, and it's unbelievable. You know, we hardly have anybody miss who want to be by, you know, their session where they can be in with a group of kids and talk and communicate. And even though they have to, we are very tight with what we do, 10 in a building and that. But the emotional part is so important, and Tom can agree to this. I know that he's involved over at Arrowhead now. And
sure,
for the kids, they need that. Even though they might have been working out here, there, or wherever, the idea of coming together as a team or a group from the same school is crucial.
It is. Well, hey, John, Tom, I'm sorry. We got to get to a break. I want to give Dan Brunner the full segment of the announcement of the 2021 inductees. John Hoke, thank you very much. Stay safe up in Minnesota. Hopefully those storms have passed. Say hi to your son. And we really appreciate a few minutes of your time.
Yeah, that's no problem. I tell you what, it's tough to hold off and not talk about the candidates that we have. But you have five outstanding that Dan's going to come in the next session at.
Well, Dan Brunner's texting me telling me that you better tell John Hoke not to steal any of my thunder. So we're going to let you go. Have a great day, John. We're going to get to a break. Other side of the break, Dan Brunner is going to announce the 2021 inductees into the WFCA Hall of Fame. This is the Pick and Save, Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by our friends at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. I'm Mike McGivern, my co-host, the associate head coach at Heartland Arrowhead. He's Tom Swiddle. Our next guest, this is a really fun, big segment for us. He is Dan Brunner. He's the executive director for the WFCA, and he's going to make the announcement of the five 2021 inductees into the Hall of Fame for the WFCA. Hey, Dan, how you doing?
Good, Mike. Good morning, Mike and Tom.
Good morning,
Dan. Tom, I'm going to turn this over to you, and you and Dan can make the announcements.
Okay, thank you very much, Mike. And, you know, obviously, Mike, this has always been a special show, and it's a little different this year. Not as many guys, but it's equally as special as it's always been. And Dan, I think we've decided how we want to do this. We're going to do this alphabetically, and you're going to announce the inductee, and I will give a little background on them. How does that sound?
Yep, sounds great, Tom. Happy to do that. Ready?
All right, so go ahead, Dan.
Okay, you want me to hit the first inductee now?
Yes. Yeah, let's just go right to the first
inductee. All right, sounds good. And again, alphabetically, and we're going to start with the high school head coaches. First is just an outstanding individual, Tony Biolo, head coach at Wisconsin Rapids.
Well, Tony, he not only has a fantastic coaching background, but talk about somebody who's done so many things for the WFCA. Mike, Tony's coached a total of 30 years, 17 as a head coach and 13 as an assistant. And during that time, he's been a part of 160 wins. They've had four conference championships, 15 playoff appearances. They've been state runner-up two times under Tony's leadership, and he's been conference coach of the year twice. And what's kind of interesting about Tony is his lineage. I mean, if you look at, you know, his background and people he's been around, he's kind of grown up in a Hall of Fame lineage. His grandpa is in the WFCA Hall of Fame. His uncle, Bill Collar, is in the WFCA Hall of Fame. He played for Hall of Fame coach Fred Kuehl, and he's coached under Hall of Famers Wayne Steffenhagen and Ken Beagle. Those are certainly all individuals that Dan knows very well. But, you know, Dan, let's just talk just for a minute about Tony's WFCA service. You know, this is a man who's been a district rep, Northern vice president, He's already had one term as WFC president, and he's presently the president-elect. He will serve a second term for that. And talk about just briefly, Dan, some of those other committees and things that, he's always in charge of.
Sure. Yeah, you can't find anybody who is a better representative of the Wisconsin Football Coaches Association. He's also the combine chairman and has turned that combine into a combine that is so respected across the nation that we get numerous calls from other states wondering how to set up a combine. Our combine is, we'll draw between 80 and 100 college coaches to it, and we've had numerous kids get offered scholarships out of it, and that's just one of the things that Tony does for the WFCA. And if you look at Tony, you'd say, there's no way he's old enough to be a Hall of Fame coach. I mean, he's like the Dick Clark of the football coaches in the state of Wisconsin. You know, he and Bill Young have that eternal youth to them. But he's just what a great example of a football coach and a person.
Absolutely. Hey,
Dan, if we can get to the second one, that'd be great.
Okay, here we go. Tony DeSalvo, head coach at St. Croix Central.
Once again, Tony's background, 22 years as a head coach, 15 as an assistant, a part of 151 wins as a head coach, 89 more as an assistant. They've been conference champions 5 years. They've 15 years in the playoffs, one state championship, and two state runners-up. He's also been, of course, involved in our All-Star game where he was an assistant 1 year and a head coach another.
Yeah, great man, Tony DeSalvo, another great representative of the WFCA.
And guys, we're going to talk to him in the next segment. We're going to get a chance to congratulate him and talk a little bit about his feelings when he got that call. Dan, if you can go to the third, that would be great.
Third high school head coach being inducted is Steve King from Holman.
Here's an interesting fact on Steve. He played both at Holman High School and UW La Crosse, and he's coached at both of his alma maters. Steve had 155 wins as a head coach, a conference champ five times, 18 years in the playoffs. He was coach of the year four times. He also won the pretty prestigious Marge and Dick Rundle Positive Influence of Coaching Award in 2014 for the WFCA and coached in the All-Star game in 1994.
All right. Our fourth inductee, and this is in the assistant coach category, it's Pat Bundy from Menominee High School.
Imagine, Dan, if you had a defensive coordinator that was with you for 25 years.
Wow.
And contributed to a 285 victories. And not only were you the defensive coordinator, but you led the conference in defense 13 of your 25 years as defensive coordinator. I mean, Menominee is just an outstanding program. They've won 17 conference championships, 29 years in the playoffs when Pat was coaching there, four state championships and 2 years state runner-up. And something that I think we really are happy about is that Pat is going in with Joe LaBuda. And as John Hulk mentioned in the first segment, the over 200 people from Menominee that will be coming down to actually cheer on two of their people.
Yeah, we may have to raffle off tickets for that Menominee group. All right. Our fifth inductee, and this is just one outstanding individual, and it's in our college coach category. It's Pat Cerrone from UW-Oshkosh.
Yeah, Pat has been at Oshkosh since 2007, so 13 years as the head coach there. And prior to becoming head coach, Mike, Pat was the defensive coordinator at Oshkosh for 7 years. And has he done a great job there, Mike, in turning that program around to national prominence? He has 103 wins. They have won the WIAC championship four times. They've been in the NCAA playoffs 5 years. And, of course, they had a great run a few years ago where they were the national runners-up. But when you take a look at Pat and anybody that knows him, it's not just the coaching but how he influences his players and how much those guys really love him. He has coached 54 players to 75 first-team All-WEAC, and he's coached 19 players to 24 All-American honors.
Wow.
So this is a man who has really left his mark on that program.
He really has. Hey, Tom, when we talked about, you know, this picture that I look at every day with my mom in it, I remember we had Pat on one of our shows a few years ago. And my mom would listen to this high school show every single week from 10 to noon, no matter what. And my phone was going off when Pat was on the air. And I thought, well, that's weird. My mom knows I'm on the air. I wonder what she's calling. And then she called again. So I went to a quick break, and we held Pat over for a second segment. And I ran outside. I said, you all right? She said, yeah, I wouldn't play for this guy. I go, what? She goes, he's too cocky for me. And I said, my, he's not trying to recruit, you know, an 89-year-old lady with a bad knee. And she said, I have some eligibility left, but I don't think I would play for him. Well, every time that his name comes up, that's what I think about. And I went back on the air and told him that. He said, yeah, you tell your mom you're right. I am pretty cocky, a little bit confident in what I do. So I congratulate these five. If you can, Dan, let's go through all five again and name them. And certainly congratulations to these guys.
Yeah. And again, our five are Tony Biolo, Wisconsin Rapids, Tony DeSalvo from St. Croix Central, Steve King from Holman, Pat Bundy, Menominee, and Pat Cerrone, UW Oshkosh.
Boy, what a great group that is. And Dan, I know John Hoke and Tom talked in that first segment how difficult it was because there are a lot of guys that you know, that could have gotten in 2021, but because you had to kind of limit it to those five, the really cream of the crop right there.
Oh, man. I mean, this has turned into like you see in the NFL or in Major League Baseball where you're just splitting hairs to make that final cut. And as you and Tom and John talked about in the first segment, there are a number of no-brainers for future classes. So there will be some very deserving guys getting in next year.
You know, Tom, I love the fact that if there is a silver lining to what's going on and us having to kind of readjust the banquet and all of that, the silver lining is that the Menominee is going to show really strong next year at that banquet. And as Tom said, if you guys have to auction off some of those tickets, but I just think to have those two guys go in at the same time is going to be something they will never forget.
Well, I agree. It is really going to be special and wild in that banquet hall.
Yeah, I would think, I don't know who stocks some of the beverages up in that hall, but you might want to know that Menominee's coming strong for that one. Hey, Dan, last question before we cut you loose. Everything's good, you and your family, everybody's healthy?
Yeah, everything's going well up to this point.
That's awesome. I miss talking to you, Dan. I miss seeing you. I can't wait to get you back in studio. Please say hi to your family for us, and thank you so much for that announcement. We're going to get to a break. Other side of the break, from St. Croix Central, Tony DeSalvo, new 2021 inductee into the Hall of Fame, the Wisconsin Football Coach Association Hall of Fame, will be our guest. This is the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coach Association show presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern, my co-host, past president of WFCA. He's a Hall of Fame member himself, and he's associate head coach at Heartland Arrowhead, Tom Swiddle. Hey, Tom, I love today's show, and I love the announcement, the excitement of who they're going to be, and Dan Brunner does as good a job as anybody when it comes to this stuff.
Boy, does he ever. And, you know, we just know how special this whole Hall of Fame thing is, and the fact that, you know, we can share that with our listeners is fantastic.
And one of the five that are going in 2021, and I've done some background stuff on him, and boy, is he well-deserving. He is was the head coach at St. Croix Central. He's Tony DeSalvo. Hey, Tony, congratulations. And can we talk a little bit about when you got the phone call and how that made you feel?
Good morning, fellas. Yeah, I'm really humbled and honored by this. Coach Hoke and Dan Brunner, and the committee. Wow, it was amazing. I was delivering Meals on Wheels when I got the phone call one Thursday, and John called me and said, "You made the Hall of Fame." And I'm like, wow, it was amazing. I'm just so honored and so humbled by it. Great kids and great coaches and great families. You know, it's a really honor.
Now, Tony, I've been told that they're thinking about naming a street after you in St. Croix. And if not, why? They should be, right?
No. We've had some great kids, and it makes me a lot smarter. That's for sure. I was not a very smart person. When you have great players and great families around you, and a great family that I have, makes you a lot smarter and a lot better. That's for sure.
Hey, Tony, if they do that, make sure it's not a boulevard, because you know people walk their dogs on boulevards, and you want to make sure it's a street or an avenue. If yeah. You can. Hey, you know, Tony, with what's going on in COVID-19 and WFCA only being able to have five, you know, if you look at the group that was 2020's group, and you guys are going to be added to that group, what a night that is going to be, because there are some just some really big named, well-deserved guys that are going in, and that banquet will be for them and for you. It's going to be a night to remember for sure.
Oh, fun night. A lot of guys that we know, and I'm really excited about it. I know my family and a lot of the guys that I have had a lot of contact with, and a lot of my old former coaches and former players, too, are really excited for me. So, yeah, it'll be a fun night. I'm looking forward to it. I've got the reservations already made, so we're excited for it.
I just want to know what room you're in so I can come up to your after party. That's probably my favorite part of the Hall of Fame evening, is when the banquet ends and I can just get free food and drink all over the hotel.
There you go. Louis Finer Meats and lots of drink, that's for sure. We're going to have fun. Yeah. There's no doubt.
Hey,
that'll be
Tom,
about a two- or three-nighter.
Tom, you notice he didn't give you his room number yet. He kind of avoided that, and we probably wouldn't want to put that out over the air if he had it anyway. Tony, when you look back at your career and what happens, I think, when you get that call, you start to reflect, and you've already said, look, we've had great players, and that's really helped. And the staffs that you've had over the years, obviously, have really been good, and certainly the community has been very supportive of what you were doing and the way you guys kind of went to the field every day and got after it and worked hard. Can we talk a little bit about some of the staff, assistant coaches that you've had over the years that just really had helped you become the head coach that you were?
Well, sure. I started back in 86 with I took over for Bob Thomas in Spring Valley, which was Hall of Fame member. Bob was an icon in Spring Valley. I was there for 3 years. I came out of college and thinking you knew everything, and I didn't know anything. And, I learned a lot in those 3 years. And then I came over to Central in 89 and was an assistant coach for 10 years, and then learned a ton as an assistant, probably more so than even those 3 years as being a head coach, and how to delegate and how to use your assistants. And you have to have faith and confidence in those kids, those guys. And I really use that in my 20 years then at Central and being the head coach here and trying to delegate and let them have a share of buy into the team and a buy into, you know, the success of having good players and just getting after it and working hard. I think back to Greg Powell back in Spring Valley and Brad Save and then coming over to Central with Ben Lamb and Nick Kaiser, guys that stuck by me and said, we got to get to work. And Steve Sanders and Gary Reinick were all instrumental in that. And the former head coach here. Then I've got some good guys right now, Ryan Berg and John Tackman I had as my assistants, and Zach Turpin and guys that have moved on and helped their careers and really helped a lot. So they bought in and watched a lot of film and watched a lot of games, and we practiced hard and worked hard at it, and we had a lot of fun at it. And I'm still going to it. So
sure.
It's kind of fun, just meeting all the coaches and, talking about this COVID thing. I was just going through that the other day with all the coaches in the league and all the coaches that I know and talking to those guys. And, it's just amazing the people that you meet and to greet it's quite an honor. It really is. It's so much fun, and guys that are in it for the right reasons. There are guys that you don't see a lot of guys in it for over 30 years anymore. Hopefully we can get a few more guys that are doing that and dedicating a lot of time and effort into this thing too. So we've had a lot of fun and a lot of great memories. That's for sure.
Tony, you said so many, great things just then. And I've always felt like, maybe my greatest strength as a head coach was surrounding myself with great people, and the way I know I relied on assistant coaches. And again, I've had some great assistants through the years, guys that have made me look good. And I'm just so appreciative of that. And the fact that you say the same thing. And I think every Hall of Fame coach would be able to say that.
Absolutely. Guys that, they don't want to have some of those responsibilities and take on sometimes administrators or parents or families or whatever you're dealing with. But, you got to have the tough skin and the thick skin. And they just wanted to go to work and love the game and love the kids and loved, sometimes our philosophies clash a little bit, or we had some disagreements, but you're going to have that with anything. And you got to get through that and relay that to your athletes. And we certainly tried to do that as best we could. And I think we had a lot of fun doing it, and we had a lot of success doing it too. And that makes it all worthwhile.
We're talking with Tony DeSalvo, St. Croix Central. He is going to be in the 2021 Wisconsin Football Coach Association Hall of Fame. And hey, Coach, you had talked about, COVID-19 and everything going on. How are you guys adjusting to this? How are your players and your kids and the people in your community adjusting to all this?
Well, I think it's just day by day. I don't know if there's really anything you can really do more than, be prepared and have the guys are now finally in the weight rooms and working out again. And we're going to have some camps now starting this week. And hopefully we can adjust things a little bit and see how things are going to go for the remainder of July, and then give them a little time off. And then hopefully we can start up in August. But, I don't know. It's just you got to just take it day by day and hopefully everybody can adjust. And kids are pretty good at adjusting. It's sometimes the adults that have a little more difficulty in adjusting to changes and things like that. But usually the athletes can handle that pretty well, that's for sure.
Hey, last question before we get to a break. And, Tom, I'm going to ask you, as well as being the associate head coach at Arrowhead and for as long as you guys have coached, and I hate to put you guys on the spot, but if you look into your crystal ball, and you may change your feeling hour by hour or day by day. Do you feel like there will be football in the fall? And I'll start with you, Tony.
I'm right now, if I were going to put a percentage on it, I'm thinking we're going to start. I'm thinking that you're going to play some conference games. I'm hoping at least. And then maybe the season gets shortened up. That's kind of that would be my thinking on it, maybe being done by, starting early and being done by the end of October or so, and then shutting everything else down. I don't know. I really don't. The NFL just tested positive 72 players the other day. If they can't get this under control, our high schools certainly aren't, but we certainly need to. And it's a great game. And I read now there's a proposal out to maybe start and go in the spring. And that's an opportunity too. If we can't get the season in, let's play in the spring then. So, there's all sorts of ideas out there, but eventually we got to come down to, hey, let's play and let's see what we come up with here. But I certainly hope that the fall can, we're going to miss football a whole bunch if we don't play it at any level, that's for sure. And it helps everyone. So I'm hoping so.
Tom, same question for you.
Yeah, I think there's a very good chance that we'll be able to start as scheduled on August 4th with practice. I found it encouraging yesterday that Iowa and Michigan announced that they are going to be starting as normal in August. You know, Tony mentioned that there is a proposal that could see football moved to the spring. I'm confident that there will be football this year. I'm semi-confident that it'll begin as scheduled in August. But, you know, I think we're also ready for all kinds of contingency plans. You know, we'll react to whatever's happening in any given situation. So certainly I'm keeping my fingers crossed.
Yeah, me too, for sure. Hey, Coach DeSalvo, thank you so much for your time. And we are so happy for you and your family, your community, and your staff. 2021 inductee into the WFCA Hall of Fame. Really well-deserved, Tony. Congratulations, and looking forward to that night when it's just going to be a monster celebration. My recommendation to you is not give Swiddle what room number you're in.
everybody but Tom, that's for sure.
Yeah, but if you give it, just so you know, if you give it to me, I'm going to pass it along to Swiddle because he's my guy. So, Tony, okay. Congratulations.
Well, thank you very much. Very humbled by this. I really appreciate it. I'm very honored by this. Appreciate it all. Thank you for you guys, all you do for the Wisconsin Football Coach Association. And have a great day and a great rest of summer. And keep your fingers crossed for the fall.
You got it. That's Tony DeSalvo from St. Croix Central. We're going to get to a break. Other side of the break, we're going to switch gears a little bit. We're going to start talking youth football with Matt Kern and Joel Nellis. And looking forward to that. We've got them for two segments. And so we will talk a little bit about what they're doing now with youth football and what they see happening here in the future. With that, this is the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm on my way, I'm making it. Well, welcome back to the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Mike McGivern, my co-host, is Tom Swiddle, Associate Head Coach at Heartland Arrowhead. Hey, Tom, how great was that to have Tony DeSalvo on? And how, man, how excited he is. And, you know, a typical Wisconsin Football Coach Association Hall of Fame guys, when we talked to him, you know, 14 seconds into him saying thank you, he talked about the players, his staff, his family, his community. And he understands the whole picture and how many people it takes to build a big program. And he certainly thanked all of them.
Well, he sure he's exactly what you just described. And he certainly has thanked everybody. But, you know, even as humble as he is, that is a great leader and a great coach. And he earned that recognition.
Yes, he did. Hey, our next two segments, and this first one is going to be a little bit shorter. Second one will be a full segment. We're going to discuss youth football with two guys that have been friends of this program, Matt Kern, the head football coach, and Berlin Eisenhower, Joel Nellis from Brookfield Central. Hey, Matt, let's start with you. How are you doing, and how are things going over at Eisenhower?
Hey, good morning, guys. We're doing okay. You know, we got rolling about 2 weeks ago with some of our weight training and speed and agility work. So just like everybody else, we're trying to sort through the current landscape of things and seeing what the next week brings with announcements and news.
Hey, Matt, can I ask you real quick, how much do you talk to other coaches about, you know, what they're doing, how they're going to market on this thing, how they're figuring out what to do, when to do it? Do you guys, I would assume that you guys talk a lot.
Yeah, we do, because I think for all of us, I mean, you know, for football coaches and for any coaches, I think we're planners by nature, and we're organized and we're detailed people. So when we're in this world where we don't have any of those things that we typically have and we don't have the schedule we typically have, I think we're all just looking for some answers on how everybody's navigating this. So, yeah, I'm pretty regularly in contact with a number of guys just to see what they're thinking on how to handle the, you know, July and the upcoming month here with August.
Hey, Coach Nellis from Brook Central, same question for you.
How much do you get a chance to talk to other coaches about how they're seeing this happening and things that they've tried that have worked and things that they tried that maybe haven't worked? I'm wondering how much you're in conversation with some of these guys.
Yeah, I would say often. I think, you know, as a group of coaches, kind of like how Echo and Coach Kern said, like you're trying to, you know, we're all trying to collaborate as best we can to get this right so that, you know, there's limited incidences, it protects the game, it protects the kids, it protects our staff. So I would definitely say that we are very collaborative. I'll chat with Justin Gum probably twice a week as we try to navigate as we're pretty close together. Talked to Coach Keith over at Marquette a couple of times. So, you know, we're all, again, maybe collaborating a lot more than we would normally, especially guys in your own conference you normally play against. But I think it's been really good dialogue, and I guess I'm really proud of our coaching association and tree that everyone's trying to get this right so that we can, you know, give ourselves the best chance come the fall.
Hey, Tom, you know, we've had the discussion about youth football for years and how important youth football is to these programs. And when you talk about some of the best programs in Southeast Wisconsin, you talk about New Berlin Eisenhower and you talk about Brookfield Central, and, you know, with COVID-19 and what's going on with that, they're paying special attention, I think, to what's going on with their youth football programs.
Yeah, I think you have to be, because I'm sure the youth coaches are looking towards the high school coaches for leadership on this. And I know about 10 days ago I was on a state call with youth football people from around the state. And, boy, you know, there's just a lot of doom and gloom with some of the youth programs, wondering if they can even play this year given the restrictions and things that they would have to follow in order just to have a day of games of youth football. I'm just really concerned that they would even have the personnel to pull this off. And really, you know, getting right into the meat of the topic, if we could for just 1 minute, you know, Joel and Matt hosted a Zoom meeting in June with the people that back in April. And just short general impressions on how you felt your Zoom meeting went in June.
I could take that one. You know, I thought it was good. I think Matt and I, as we've discussed this whole process, sort of recognize that major decisions can't be made in one or two Zoom calls. So this group has now met a couple different times, I think two Zoom calls and a in-person meeting at a clinic. So I think that, you know, what we're coming to find out is everyone's passionate about youth football, and all of our communities, although somewhat close together here in the southeast part of the state, are all very different in terms of what families are used to and accustomed to, and, you know, what they view football at each different level. Some programs are starting kids in helmets as early as, you know, first and second grade, not that they're making contact, but other programs are kind of saving that for later. So, you know, we're just finding out there's a lot of diversity in terms of what is offered and what is expected in each different program.
And same question, I think, if we can, Joel, for you, I think with youth football, and it is the basically the bloodline of our high school programs. And how are you guys doing this in the Brookfield Central area? Are the youth programs getting together right now with the idea that they're going to play a full schedule?
Yeah, we are. You know, the AAYFL has kind of set out some guidelines that they're going to plan to follow what the WIAA does. I would say that our numbers at each level are lower than they've been in the past, and we're trying to navigate some of those solutions, whether it might be combining teams or delaying teams, et cetera. You know, we're just having to get creative. We've met with all of our parent groups and kind of explained our situation. And, you know, it's some things that we have to continue to get better at. And, but yeah, we're intending to play, pending any other decision that would come our way, but, you know, I think people still want to get their kids enrolled in football in the fall. But, you know, what it might look like at each level is a little bit different, and definitely different than what it's been in the past, numbers-wise.
No doubt. Hey, guys, let's get to a break. Other side of the break, we'll continue our conversation. I've got a number of questions with you know, COVID-19 and how we're figuring this stuff out. I know that with as a sales rep at Entercom, you know, we're not allowed back in the building till probably September. And it's interesting that by working from home, there are some things that I think we've learned as a staff that we're going to carry over if we ever get back to the normalcy that we had, you know, 5 months ago, that we're going to continue to do. And some of it, I think, has really kind of challenged us to get better at some parts of our job. And I'm going to ask Joel Nellis and Matt Kern and Tom Swiddle, for that matter, what we've learned through this that you guys think you might carry over once things again, and I'm putting my fingers up in the air with quotations, once we get back to some normalcy in this. We'll continue our conversation. Matt Kern, the head football coach at New Berlin Eisenhower, Joel Nellis, head football coach at Brookfield Central, and the associate head coach, my co-host, Tom Swiddle from Heartland Arrowhead. This is the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Pella Windows and Doors Wisconsin on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.